Yes, man.
It's me, Barbara.
Good evening.
Evening.
We're getting quite a bit of static or background noise, so please press star 6. Thank you. Please join me in saying the Anabakoach Anabakoach Gedula Chemincha Tatir Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Taf Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad, Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows us to take any part of our body that needs healing back to its stem cell state, where it can be healed, where it can be cleansed, where it can be rejuvenated, and then return it back to the body in its newly recreated pristine state, where it will again do its job as it was created to do. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkadcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzaditav gimel chasin kadosh birotuvcha Nael Adatach Tet Kufbet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gee Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shin kufav tzadiyudta. We're now reading four verses from the Tanakh that connects us to the energy of the previous year, 5774, which is an energy that we did not complete during the year, and so we don't want to fall back, and we want to move forward and complete it. And three verses that connect us to the energy for this year, an important energy that we need to do individually to be able to see through the illusion and remove the angel of death from that illusion, from that reality. Wesamti makom leami liyisrael untati v'shakan takta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. And the three verses from this year, starting with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo Shemimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. In chapter 23, verse 23 of 1 Samuel. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam. Asher yitkabe sham vishavtem elai el nachon. Vehalachti idchem vehaya im yeshno. Varetz vechipasti oto bekol alfei Yehuda. And a third verse, which also comes from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yovedo roav yomru ayo. Now we're going to a verse from the Zohar, from the Parasha Terumah, the first section, the second verse. B'shem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Le'akta Shem Yudke Bavavke Be'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. By saying L'shem Yehud, Yehud, we bring into alignment our consciousness so that we're doing this Torah study, this Zohar study, for only one purpose, and that is to unite Zeranpin and Malchut, to bring the four letters of the Tetragrammaton into unity, Yud-He with Vav-He, the male with the female. Rabbi Shimon Patach Mizot Hana Niskafa Gimo Shachar Yafa Kalvana Barakahama Iyuma Ayuma Kanid Galot Mizot Raza Dietrain Almin Mit Chaburan Chachada Vedahu. Olam Veolam. Excuse me. Mi Haokimna Darga ila la ela sheruta de kaima bi elta ve ihre mi kida se umarom enechem uru mi vara ele zot darga Tata letata alma tata betarvaihu terein almin bechibura chada bekishura chada chada. Rabbi Shimon opens the discussion saying, who is she that looks out like the dawn? Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. This is a verse, a famous verse, in Shir HaShirim. Who, the Hebrew word is me, is she. The Hebrew word is zot. Mi zot. Mi zot is the secret of two worlds that unite, which are a world and a world. This is as is written, forever and ever. Literally, from the world to the world. Another verse from 1 Chronicles, which are Bina and Malchut, the two worlds. Who is the supernal level above, the beginning of all things, which may be examined and is named me, which is Bina. As it says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who created these? She, the Hebrew word zot, is a lower level, below, which is the lower world. That is to say, Malchut. They are two worlds joined by one connection, by one tie, together through the elevation of Malchut into Bina, which is how she attained the Mochin of Bina. Many of these words are Rabbi Ashlag's commentary is called the Sulam, that without them it's very difficult to understand. In the Zohar section of Bereshit, there is a section called Who Created These? And in this, it's talking about the two words Mi and Ma. The word Ma means what, and the word Mi means who. It doesn't really mean those things. They translate as those things. Ma is a gematria of 45. Mi has a gematria of 50. When you put the two together and you rearrange the letters, you get the word water and the letter hay. Hay represents the physical world, but it also represents the five worlds. Water represents chesed, it represents loving kindness. And it's from this designation that we learn many things about our world. But it's also true when we talk about Mizot. Who is she? She is the physical world. She is Zot. She is the Shekhinah. But it needs to be unified. But who do you unify the female with? Do you unify the female with the mother, which is Bina, which is who, which is the 50 gates of understanding? Or do you unify it with the male, with the Zeranpin? Or do you first unify with the male, and then the male and the female together unify with the mother? I'll leave you to question and contemplate the question. This is the power of the Zohar. Are there any questions? In order to ask a question, you'll need to press star 6 if you've muted your phone, which is why when I asked you to press star 6 earlier. Otherwise, just speak out. Today's class is on the Hebrew letters. We're finally beginning to start them, to complete them again. And today's letter is the letter Tzadi. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom page of the Hashem website. When you scroll down to the matrix, go to row 7, the second column from the left. And when you click on that, it will give you the whole range of classes and handouts for all of the letters, although I have not completed the last 4. But the Hebrew letter Tzadi, the form of the letter Tzadi, is made from the letter Yud and the letter Nun. The Nun is bent over at the top of the arm. This represents the aspect of humility. The Kabbalah teaches that this bent-over aspect within the tzaddi represents the humbleness of a righteous person. The yud can either be facing the nun or facing away from the nun. When it is facing the nun, it represents the world of limitation or the world of tikkun. If it represents our world before the coming of Mashiach, in that world, Hashem supports the fallen ones. That's the yud holding up the bent nun. But when the yud faces away, it represents the world after Mashiach. And that's where Hashem, or where the tzaddikim, the bent-over nun, is supporting the Hashem by doing their work, serving God in true righteousness. This is the world after Mashiach. An interesting letter is the letter tzaddi. When the yud faces upward, it represents man running upwards towards God, the world after Mashiach. When it faces downwards, it represents the tzaddik, who teaches about God. The yud in the ten sefirot teaches about God to man, and representing the created being, which is represented by the letter nun. The Zohar has a prophecy that there will be a period close to the coming of Mashiach, that the world will have no Torah scrolls. There is a story associated with Rabbi Ashlag during the period of the 1920s or the 1930s. There was a period where the Torah scrolls that had the tzaddi with the yud pointing outwards were declared pasul by the rabbis, and these scrolls were being burned. Rabbi Ashlag felt or knew that these scrolls were kosher, but he had to find a scroll that was written prior to the period of the 1400s in order to prove this. This scroll showed that the earlier sages had accepted the tzaddi written with the yud pointing away from the nun. He was successful, and he proved to Rabbi Cook, the first Ashkenazi rabbi of Israel, that the scrolls were kosher. The burning was stopped through Rabbi Ashlag's actions, and only Rabbi Ashlag's actions. One man teaches us what we came here to do. One man has a job. Each of us has a job. What is our job going to be? Rabbi Ashlag did more than just this. He revealed the commentary. He explained the commentary of the Zohar. But in truth, a world without Torah scrolls, or a world without the Zohar, which would be worse? In fact, both of these actions were necessary, and only Rabbi Ashlag, as a reincarnation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was capable of bringing this information to the world. What is the meaning of this to you? Can you imagine the screaming and pain that took place from those burning scrolls? Yet if this plan of the negative side had been successful, what other letter would have been declared pasul? After all, so much of the information about what is kosher and what is pasul comes through our historical records, which come through the corruption of the agenda of people associated with the church. Actually, the message in the story is to understand that not all negative prophecies need to manifest. This means that all of the stories and the hype you have ever heard about the Armageddon War does not have to manifest. It is up to us to let people know this. When it is appropriate, tell people this story. This world is manifested by the quantum consciousness of people. The more people speak of the coming of the Armageddon War, the more it may happen, God forbid. Always remember, it does not have to happen. It is a negative prophecy. And no negative prophecy must manifest. Only positive prophecies must manifest. The fulfillment of the letter Tzadi. There are two ways that the letter Tzadi is fulfilled and becomes a word. One way is spelled Tzadi, Dalet, Yud. And the other is Tzali, Dalet, Tzadi, Dalet, Yud, Kuf, Tzadik. So the letter Tzadi is also the word Tzadik. The word Tzadi can be interpreted as a Tzad and a Yud. The Yud at the end of a Hebrew word means the personal pronoun, mine or my. The word Tzad, Tzadi Dalet, means a side or a flank, an aspect, a page, a party. Therefore, the meaning is my side or my flank, my aspect or my page, or my party. I am part, my party. In Aramaic, Tzadi means chaos. This brings the idea that the righteous person hunts in the world of chaos to elevate the fallen sparks of God. Another possible meaning comes from the idea that the letter Tzadi refers to the idea of a righteous person, and the Dalet refers to the door. This would allow us to translate the word Tzadi as the door to Hashem is through the righteous. This is why people use the Tzadikim on their death anniversary or their Hilulah. The word Tzadik has the meaning of righteous, just, upright, pious. A person who is upright and just. This word also means the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is the largest planet in the solar system, except for the sun. It also is the only planet that is constantly expanding and growing, just as the righteous person, the tzaddik, is constantly growing in his desire to be closer to the Creator. Please hold on a second. I needed to take a drink, so I apologize. Continuing. The gematria of the letter and the word tzadi. The tzadi is the 18th letter of the alphabet. 18 is the gematria of the word chai, which means life. This is another connection. The righteous person is the connection to true living. This is a teaching throughout the Zohar and the Talmud. The letter tzadi has the gematria of 90. Is there a connection between the letter tzadi with its gematria of 90 and the unification of the names Adonai with the Tetragrammaton and that gematria of 91? Or the name of God, Ha Elohim, also with a gematria of 91. The gematria of the letter Sadi, which connected when connected to the upper worlds, which represents the Kolel, is 91. The number 90 represents the length of a season. Sarah was 90 when she gave birth to Isaac. It is recommended that a person say 90 amens a day, along with 100 blessings. This represents the word ketz, kuf tzadi, which spells the word that means end. This is an action that will help bring Mashiach. It is taught that 90,000 elders danced when King David brought the ark up to Jerusalem. The word tzadi has a gematria of 104. 104 is 4 times 26. 26 represents the essence of the Tetragrammaton. The number 4 represents both the doorway, as in the Dalet, and the four worlds from the Kabbalah. The gematria of the word tzaddik is 204. Another word with this gematria is kadmoni. This word translates as dweller of the east. A person connected to the energy of chesed is part of this meaning. The 6 sons of Abraham from his wife Keturah were sent to the east. The word kadmoni is also used in the Torah. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 19. Other connections. The righteous person is connected to the Sefirah of Yesod. The only people called righteous in the Torah are people who have exhibited control over their sexual desires. Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Jacob and Rachel, are the two most prominent. The word tselem, tzadi lamed mem, translated as shadow, starts with the tzadi. In Kabbalah, the letter tzadi represents the 3 lower levels of soul after the person achieves correction. The nefesh, the ruach, and neshama after correction. The lamed represents the soul level called chaya, reaching above the line, reaching up to God. And the mem represents the level of soul called yechida. In Mishle, in Proverbs, King Solomon writes the phrase, Tzadik Yesod Olam. This translates in a few different ways. The typical translation is, the Tzadik is the foundation of the world. Another way to translate this phrase is, the foundation of the world is the Tzadik. This applies to the letter tzaddik as well as the people who become tzaddikim. Always remember, the level of consciousness of a tzaddik is momentary. We can be a tzaddik one moment and then fall to the other side during the next moment, God forbid, and then elevate back to the level of the tzaddik. Kabbalah, especially the Tanya, explains that there are two levels of tzaddikim. One level is still in the tikkun process, while the higher level of tzaddik is here in this world to assist the rest of us in our growth towards the Creator. Words that have a gematria of 90 in the Tanakh, Maim, water. Excuse me. Lechem, plural for you, or you all. Mikol, from all, entirely, a container. Min, from. Vayeda, and he knows. The name of the father of Noah, the grandson of Hanoch, the son of Methuselah, also meaning loser or hapless. That's spelled Lemech, has a gematria of 90. Hashem v'Noach, and Noach's God, which can be translated as the God of comfort. Miad, miad, or miod, miod, which is a phrase implying a great amount. Mimi, from who? Words that have a gematria of 104 in the Tanakh. Vaipeach, and he blew. Manoach, deceased, quiet. A person's name. Demachem, your blood. Miyad kol, all from a hand. Ha'adam miyad, from the hand of Adam. Tziyad, to hunt. Or be a hunter. And the word, the city that was destroyed by Hashem, Sodom. Words that have a gematria of 204 in the Tanakh. The word dar, meaning a pearl. Vipinchas and Pinchas. Here is a story that we read in each one of our classes about the letters. The letter Tzadi's story is titled A Fallen Sparrow. And they entered inside the Tzadi gate. The princess was the first to spy something strange on the ground. It was a fallen sparrow, untouched, and not moving as well. It was lying lifeless upon the ground. Perhaps it had fallen from a branch of the great tree, which grew in the middle of the garden. Perhaps it had come from a land far away, from the exertion of flying such a distance. Had exhausted the bird beyond recuperation. Perhaps it had succumbed to any one of a number of possible causes and rendered it motionless, restless, and bereft of the rest of its higher soul. The prince and princess have never seen death before. Never. But their intuition told them that the sparrow had died. Excuse me, I need to take a drink. Neither the prince nor the princess knew what to say. They also did not know quite how they felt. They had never seen people cry or grieve for a loved one who had died. "Should we be sad?" the princess asked the teacher. "How do you feel?" asked the teacher. "I don't know," replied the princess. "I am very confused." "And I am upset with myself that I do not know just what to feel." "There are some who believe that after living in the world, there is nothing else," the teacher responded, as she knelt to sit up on the grass. "Those who believe that usually are very upset when they face death. They are also so used to living that when they think that the day may come when they no longer have life, they get frightened and upset. These people believe that life is something you have, and when it is taken away, then you don't have anything." "I can't imagine not being alive," said the prince. "What else is there?" The teacher took a second before she responded. She knew that no one knows for sure what happens after death. Hanok's commentary is, "That's not true." Yet she also knew that sometimes life gives us clues that help us understand even the toughest matters. So she decided to share some clues she had found about life and death. She looked at the prince and princess. "Life has hinted to me that we all live in many different kinds of worlds," she said. "The world we are living in now is what some teachers call the waking world. Then when we sleep, some part of us lives in the dream world. Both worlds are real, but they are different. We meet our bodies to live in the waking world, but no one has ever needed a body to live in the dream world." The teacher paused to let the prince and princess think a little bit about those two different worlds, the waking world and the dream world. It seemed true to them that these two worlds were both real. Yet in the waking world, the sky is blue. Princes and princesses can apply, and the only people we speak with are those who are alive when we are awake. But in the dream world, skies can be many different colors, even pink and gold. Princesses and princes can fly, and we speak with people we have not seen for a very long time in the waking world, even the people we call dead. Sometimes they appear in the dream world, and then we even have conversations with them. One of my teachers told me that what we call death is simply like moving from one world to another, said the teacher. When we stop living in one world, we merely come to live in another. It is just that we can't find this other world when we live in the waking world. We cannot see the other world from here. We cannot even imagine it when we are awake. So it seems as if this other world does not even exist. "But you want to know something?" whispered the teacher, as she leaned forward toward the prince and princess. "I think that other world does not exist. It is not the waking world. It is not even the dream world. It is another kind of world completely. My teacher calls it the world that is coming, and we won't know very much about it until the day comes for us to go and live there." Excuse me. The prince and princess looked back at the sparrow. Excuse me. Now they knew how they felt about it. It was sad to think that it would never come here to the garden again. It would never play among the branches of the great tree, nor would it ever be coming in to bathe and splash in the marble birdbath that stood near the palace. But they had other thoughts about the sparrow also. They smiled when they thought about the chance that it would come and visit them tonight in the dream world, or that someday they would play with it again in the world the teacher called the world that is coming. They truly believed that they would see that sparrow again in one of those other worlds. What an amazing universe, they thought. Death is neither so powerful or so frightening in such a universe. Their friend the sparrow barely had left one world and had now gone to another. And speak about moving? The sparrow was not the only one who had moved along. The prince and princess noticed that the teacher had stood up and wandered over to a long-stemmed plant not far away. Another story was about to be revealed. Can you explain how this story relates to the letter Tzadi? Secrets of the Hebrew Alphabet, another book that I bring material from regarding the letter Tzadi. The letter Tzadi has the energy of four items listed here: righteousness, a sense of eating, the month of Shavat, and the constellation Aquarius. The Sefer Yetzirah associates the letter Tzadi, the word Tzadi, Tzadi Dalet Yud, and the letter, final letter, Tzadi, with the sense of eating and its rectification. As a word, Tzadik means the righteous person, of whom it is said the righteous eats to satisfy his soul. My commentary. Please note that the first negative or selfish action of man, Adam and Chava, is described with a metaphor, that of eating. This metaphor needs to be corrected and explained. In the 1800s, Rabbi Salanter developed the concept of Musar, ethical evaluation of oneself using the Hebrew letters. This is done through repetitive phrases of various verses from the Tanakh. This was not new, and is now taught by the schools, it was taught by the schools of prophets and the Kabbalists as well. In effect, the descriptions used is to tear out the nature of a character or personality trait that is not wanted. Tear this trait out by its root. This is a very real teaching that needs to be contemplated extensively. The holiday of Tu B'Shvat, the new year of the tree, takes place during the full moon of Aquarius in the month of Shvat. The purified person has learned to be like the tree, to find his or her physical roots, to receive from the ground via food the nourishment needed to use his or her potentials to a maximum. But man does not live by bread alone. Man rather lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Hashem, like the tree which needs light and air along with the mineral nourishment extracted from the ground. That tzaddik also learns to direct his antenna towards his celestial root. For spiritual nourishment, even during the everyday actions, which include eating. There are many stories of Hasidic teachers who completed their mystical ascents when eating. The biblical text also mentioned this possibility. The elders, invested by Moses with the prophetic spirit, ate, drank, and prophesied all at the same time. Kabbalah bases much of its teachings of a tree, the outgrowth of the safety rope from God's undifferentiated infinity, is referred to as the tree of life. It explains that our real roots are in heaven. A person who is like a tree of the field can grow and rise toward the heavens, and then offer his or her fruits, shade, or support to others by connecting with the divine nature of his or her soul, either through a particular facet of the Torah, a specific emanation of divinity, or a righteous person who eliminates from above. Reaching self-control in eating, knowing when and how to eat, is a fundamental goal in the Jewish tradition. Recommendations of this kind are founded in Maimonides' discussion of Jewish law, in Kabbalah, and in the teachings of Chassidut. According to Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen, the primordial sin for which Adam and Eve lost paradise was not the consumption of a particular fruit, but rather the performance of the act of eating in an imperfect psychological and spiritual state. Eating has its own holiness, which must be respected, just like any other daily act. According to esoteric tradition, the fact that paradise was lost for a sin of gluttony implies that a proper attitude toward eating is required in order to hasten the redemption and effect the rectification of the primordial sin. As the Kabbalah teaches, a person may perform a fundamental correction, rectification of his own soul in general metaphysical reality, when eating. The Talmud teaches that one of the most important techniques for reaching Ruach HaKodesh, inspiration and prophecy, is Kavanah, directed awareness, when reciting the blessings over food and when eating. In this way, it is possible to nullify the power of the Klipot, the impurity, the negative system, that metaphysically and inherently, that is inherent within the food, and attaches themselves to the person who does not eat with the proper attitude. It is even possible to purify our bodies when we eat with awareness by turning them into vessels suitable for receiving the spirit of holiness. By consuming food with the intention of using its energy to do good, thereby transforming ourselves and the world around us. We make the food our partner in the work of rectification. Thus, matter ceases to be the means by which the divinity hides itself and becomes instead the channel for divine revelation. As teacher and biologist Sarah Yehuda Schneider has noted, once the molecules contained in food have been ingested, their spiritual essence ascends from the lower level of consciousness. Those generally accessible to the animal, the vegetable, or the mineral worlds, to higher levels of understanding. This is because they are now an integral part of the human being who has assimilated them. In addition, eating with Kavanah can elevate a human being even further, putting him or her in contact with the sparks of divine energy that descended during creation before man was created. The process of Genesis, creation began with the creation of minerals and ends with that of man. Even though the simplest, most original forms of life are organisms with little understanding, the sparks of divine energy they still contain are closer to the absolute divine essence. When minerals were created, nothing else existed in the world except the divine presence. When the moment of man's creation arrived, all the other forms of life, animal, vegetable, and mineral, already existed. The rock finding itself alone, face to face with the Creator, was literally petrified by that vision. In contrast, divine energy across so many levels of tsimsum, contraction, limitation. When God created Adam, that the first man found himself face to face not only with God, but with many other images and creatures. This fact is still reflected today in man's tendency to lose sight of the divine and be attracted to the physical pleasures. Tzaddik, the sign of Aquarius in the Messianic era. Tzaddik is associated with the sign of Aquarius. This is the Messianic sign that with its pail of water fills the entire world with higher understanding. According to the oral tradition, if one sign of the zodiac were to correspond to the people of Israel, it would be Aquarius. Balaam's prophecy of Israel's messianic role speaks of a pail from which the waters of the Torah of Israel fall over the whole world. According to some astrologers, we have only recently entered the age of Aquarius, in which both the peak of technological development as well as the apex of spiritual awareness will be reached. This motion reflects a prophecy in the Zohar, which stated 2,000 years ago that there would be a prodigious development of lower understanding, science and technology, beginning around the year 5600 of the Hebrew calendar, which corresponds to 1840 of the Common Era. At the same time, predicted the Zohar, there would be a surprisingly forward leap of higher understanding and subsequent unification of these two bodies of knowledge that would hasten the arrival of Mashiach. Indeed, the emergence of Chassidut, which came, can be considered the greatest revolution within Judaism, came at the same time as the Industrial Revolution. The crown of the king. The revolution of Rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidut, of Chassidism, opened the door to esoteric teaching for the uninitiated. Accused of throwing precious pearls to people incapable of appreciating the value of this wisdom, the students answered with this parable. Once upon a time there was a king. His son fell ill and no doctor could cure him. One day a wise man came to the door stating that he knew how to cure the prince. He told the king that the only remedy for his son was to take the most precious stone from the crown, crush it into a powder, and then make the powder into a potion for the prince to drink. The ministers, alarmed at the prospect of destroying the crown, tried to discourage the king. From doing what the old sage proposed, but the king replied, "Of what use is the crown for me if my son dies. The king is God, the son is the Jewish people. And the mortal danger is that of assimilation, a renouncing of the spiritual inheritance of the Torah. The king's crown is the Torah, and the diamond is the ground in the Torah's precious inner dimension. The Kabbalah, which had to be transmuted into a form that would make it available to the masses. The ministers are those who criticize or tried to hold this revolutionary movement, opposing the sacrifice of the aura of secrecy surrounding the Kabbalah for the sake of the spiritual survival of the people of Israel. The Zohar foretold that man would ultimately have assignments on his side that would increasingly confirm the united perception of reality that is found in Kabbalah. There are a number of conditions characterizing our era that presage the advent of the New World. One of these is the phenomenal progress of communication, creating the possibility of new relationships, contacts, and mutual understanding between peoples and individuals, as well as the divinity of both the Torah's uniform and vision, which is beginning to cross beyond the borders of the Jewish world, and holistic therapies which view the organism as a whole, as more than the simple sum of its parts. These concepts are widely discussed by Rabbi Ginsburg and Rabbi Steinsaltz, and are also mentioned as well in Daniel Matt's work, explaining about how physics and metaphysics today go hand in hand. My commentary. Many times I am asked, what is the difference between Kabbalah and Hasidut? The answer appears above. Hasidut is a covering on the Kabbalah that allows the teachings of Kabbalah to be received by the masses. One must always remember that the masses would disappear into assimilation and other wrong effects without the Zohar and the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag, as well as the teachings of Hasidut. In our generation, the covering of Hasidut is no longer necessary, as it was 300 years ago, in my opinion. And in view of this, I'd like to bring you a summary of something. Normally, I do not watch YouTube videos that are long in length. But someone did forward to me a video that was over an hour in length. And this video attempted to prove that there is a God using scientific knowledge and words from the Torah. We have been raised with a traditional teaching that all knowledge is available in the Torah. The video takes work done by a scientist where he took the gematria of various Hebrew words and plotted them as a formula against the logarithmic scale of different measurements, such as the nine planets. He took the log scale of their dimensions, of their mass, their density, their diameter. He took the speed of sound and the speed of light and the speed of standing still, which is, of course, zero. And he plotted these measurements according to the best scientific knowledge of our day, and proceeded to reveal a straight line in all cases. The movie that was based on his work and his material, his published material, attempts to prove that since science and gematria are equal, obviously the Torah must have been issued, written, revealed by divine inspiration. But people will never believe that. People experienced the miracles in the desert, and 3 days later they had forgotten it. We know that that is not the method for connecting to the Creator. But what is revealed by this movie is the following truth. Every piece of knowledge is available in the Torah in a coded way. You want to know the dimensions of the planets? You want to know the distance to the various stars? It's all there. Take the gematria of Hebrew words and plot it against the logarithmic scale, and you will see what science's ultimate values will be revealed as. Everything is known in the Torah. We just have to choose to understand it. If you'd like to see the YouTube video, send me an email requesting it, and I will send the link for the video to you. It won't prove to you that there is a Creator. That will never be done until you decide that you want to know the truth. But there are many things that will be revealed to you through the watching of this video. This is the end of the class on the letter Tzadi. Next week we will discuss the letter Kuf. Are there any questions? Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we will have our advanced reincarnation class. Wednesday, we will have questions and answers. Thursday is our Rosh Chodesh connection. Saturday will be our Zohar class. And Sunday morning at 10:30, we will continue preparing for the holidays that are upcoming. Purim, Pesach, the Omer, and Shavuot. The unity of time, the unity of the calendar, as taught in Kabbalah. Shalom to all.